Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Today is the 31st of August, 2018. It's Friday morning. And the Apostle Paul shows us over and over again that God's wisdom, in contrast to man's wisdom, is the only wisdom we should rely upon. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? By wisdom knew not God. It pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many mobile are called. Not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Or had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. I've been reading this morning through 1 Corinthians 1:18-31, 1 Corinthians 2:1-16, and 1 Corinthians 3:18-21. Well, I want to thank everyone that's joined us. Lee Rogers, Trey Bradley, Jesus Mark Badiger, David Kimmel, and Eddie Danilia. The overriding thrust or theme of what I've just read is that man should not glory in his own wisdom, but the glory and the power should rest in God Almighty. Many think that they have unbelievable abilities. They put a lot of credit in their degrees and in their accomplishments. But we should not be exalting man, the exaltation of the creature. That's why I call seminaries cemeteries. You go get your death certificate, don't you? When men start glorying in his own wisdom, when men start putting faith in their titles, whatever their titles, if you're trusting in the title of a PhD piled higher and deeper, or masters, Christ said, call no man master on the earth. If you're trusting in that doctor's degree, or you're trusting in even the title of pastor, if you're putting faith in your title of pastor, I don't take on any titles. I have a big enough head as it is. We should not trust in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our only hope should be in Christ, not in the wisdom of this world, not in NASA, not in so-called science. We have enough in the Word of God to give us counsel for our whole life. And so this morning, let us realize that all things come from God. He created all things, and by Him all things consist, Colossians 1. He says that through His apostle, in Him we live and move and have our very being. People want to create all these different things to worship, don't they? They want to create altars and crosses and put a cross around their neck. They want to create pictures of Jesus and all kind of idolatry. We don't need all of that. You know, all we need is Jesus Christ. And you know, there's a lot of people out there that want to put their faith in men or woman or women. They want to put their faith in a person's degree or his ability to properly translate Hebrew and Greek. It's a control mechanism. It's a way of mind control of other people. When preaching in the book of Acts, we find that often the Old Testament books are cited, and the following passage cited from chapter 2 of Psalms. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ, for of a truth against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. Acts 4:25-28. When Saul was struck down on the road to Damascus, it was very apparent that he had no free will in the matter because he had been persecuting Christians. but was marvelously born again by the Spirit of God. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And all but all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. They'll want to kill you if you tell the truth of the gospel. That was Acts 9, 5 through 6 and 20 through 23. When the disciples began to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles, they were delighted, the Gentiles. And those whom it was intended embraced it. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Notice, as many as were ordained to eternal life. Acts 13, 48. But there's always been people, those who come against Christ and his people. You know, even in the New Testament, the Jews which believed not moved with envy took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, These have turned the whole world upside down, are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Well, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable men which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Acts 17, 5 through 13. But the threatenings and persecution by the Jews against the church did not stop her or the proclamation of the gospel. God that made the world, all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And he hath made one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring, for in them as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought to not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Jesus, whom he hath ordained, where he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Acts 17, 24 through 31. Well, this morning, the message is, don't trust in your own wisdom. Don't trust in your degrees. Don't trust in your titles. Don't trust in your idols. But trust in the Son of the Living God who gave himself for us. Welcome aboard, Lisa and Andre and all the rest of you that are with us this morning. Trust in God forever. That should be our motto, should it not? Trust ye in God forever. 26:4. Put no confidence in princes. Put no confidence in men. Don't trust in Larry Moe or Curly. Trust in the Lord. Jesus Christ. He's the one who paid the price on Calvary. He's our only hope. He is seated in heavenly places. He's seated at the right hand of God. He makes intercession for the transgressors. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid upon him, Christ, the iniquity of all of his people, all of his elect. So this morning, the word of the Lord says that he is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd of the sheep. We can't trust in our own. We can't shepherd ourselves. We need the great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely, 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 goodness and mercy shall follow me. Shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Well, may the good Lord take this word and use it for his glory and his exaltation this morning is my prayer. May the good Lord be with you this Friday. God bless.